Thank you for tuning in to another fun episode with your favorite Mouska moms, Lori.
Hi.
Jennifer.
Hello.
And Juliana, that's me. This episode, we'll be talking about the Taste of Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, which was awesome. But of course, the first course is the cocktail. So what is our Mouska cocktail today, Lori?
All right. So our Mouska cocktail is actually a drink that we didn't even pick out beforehand. You girls were waiting in line in China to get a beer and some food, and I kind of wandered away. I didn't actually know this drink existed, which shame on me. But it's the Tipsy Ducks in Love. It is an amazing drink. I was kind of searching for something, obviously, that wasn't beer because I don't like it. And we were a bit tired, and it was, you know, I needed a caffeine pick-me-up. So this one is a creamy cold tea and coffee combo with bourbon whiskey and chocolate. It is amazing. And it is not exclusive to Food and Wine. So I will be getting this drink every single time I go to Epcot. I found
and it was in China.
Or sorry. Yeah. China and Epcot. Did I say Japan?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you said anything because I'm tired and drinking my coffee right now as we speak.
That you wish was 50 bucks in love.
I do. It was delish.
It was so good. Like, and good. Lori, are you in general a fan of bourbon?
I do like, I like bourbon. I'm not a straight bourbon type person.
Yet.
But, yeah. But I do like bourbon. So this drink was just, I mean, it was just amazing. Amazing.
Bourbon and coffee is such a fantastic combination anyway.
And chocolate.
The bourbon just gave it like a little bit of a oomph, but it wasn't like it was so good. It was like the most delicious Frappuccino you could imagine.
You guys know me, I'm not a huge fan of the sickly sweet coffee drinks. And this was delicious. I'll get this every single time we go also, because it was really good. It was nice because it was so hot. So it was a frozen drink. So that was good. It was frozen, right? Was it frozen or
ice? It was on ice, which is why I liked it better.
Yeah,
one drink it faster, and you don't get headaches. But yeah, it was on.
Seriously, I would have sucked that down in 30 seconds flat. It was so good, and it was so hot out, and the coffee was like just perfect for, you know,
11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, it's because that's why I didn't get my coffee that day. I got nothing.
Yes, because we went to the Polynesian first to get you your Dole Whip.
Yes, and Dole Whip does not have caffeine, unfortunately.
Dole Whip for breakfast and a bourbon coffee drink for mid-morning breakfast number two.
With the margarita thrown in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine.
Good times.
I would highly recommend that one in China. It's a little kiosk. It was located kind of by the water on the right hand side there. If you're going
It's in the tea kiosk that's there all the time. So usually for the festivals, they put up those festival booths, but this kiosk is like, I want to say it's the Joy of Tea, but I might be making that up. But it's a tea. It's the tea kiosk.
It is Joy of Tea.
Yeah, it's always there. So now that we know, I've heard about it on and off here and there on like the Disney fan sites and everything, and I just never remember about it. And so thank you for getting that, because it was yum.
It was amazing. So I will be there December 30th drinking that drink.
And I'll be there with you.
Yay.
Sorry, Juliana.
I hate you both right now.
Anywho, moving on. Let's talk news. We haven't done the news in a while, and there's actually a lot of it. So the first news, and the most important, in my opinion, if you missed it, is that your favorite Mouska moms have just opened a travel company. So it's called Kingdom and Cruise Travel. So check us out. That was really exciting. And definitely go back and listen to our podcast extra episode where you can hear all about that and our inspiration behind opening a company. The other news that came out, we have a mix of good and bad news. We'll start with the bad. Disneyland Paris has closed. Juliana can let you know what's going on in Paris. They are, as their numbers go up, their lockdown is also coming back. I think they're calling it like a re-lockdown.
Yeah, it says reconfinement. Yeah, so we're not allowed to travel. We're not allowed to – any non-essential business is closed, which – frankly, I don't understand. I thought that Disney would be considered essential. It's essential to me.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, so they shut down again, which is just such a bummer and so sad, you know, again, for all the employees there. And anyway, it's tragic, frankly.
It is.
But
they
they
do have a tentative reopening date for December 1st that they announced, but who knows? We'll play it by ear, no pun intended.
Right, but it's a little weird. So they have this temporary opening date, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's like just for 3 weeks to get them through the holiday season, and then they're planning to close again. So I don't know, because the confinement is only supposed to go through December 1st, but we'll see.
Who knows?
Yeah, so...
And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, the CDC has lifted their cruise ship ban. So hopefully we'll be hearing in the next couple of days or weeks the plans from the different cruise ship companies about what their plans are for reopening and when they're going to start sailing again. So
I've seen Royal Caribbean, Celebrity, and I think possibly NCL just said they're still putting a pause on things till the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm sure it's going to take some time for people to feel comfortable booking, and I'm sure it's going to take some time for the cruise companies to feel comfortable opening safely. So, but the ban is now lifted, so that's kind of promising news that now the work can actually start instead of like in theoretical terms, they can actually have some concrete plans for how they're going to do that and bring us all back to cruising safely.
I can't wait to cruise.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've been looking at some in the last couple of days, and I'm like, drooling.
I think I'm excited to cruise though without masks. Like,
yeah,
you know, like I'm.
I guess I don't think that's going to be happening for a really long time.
I know.
But remember, Disney with a mask wasn't so bad. So, you know.
I think it's just the new – I think it's always hard to let go of the things that you loved in the past. But, you know, hey, think about how hard it was to say goodbye to the great movie ride. And then we just saw Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And it was like, oh, okay, this is good.
I'm not going to feel that way for Splash Mountain.
Yes, we know.
I would rather cruise with a mask than not cruise at all. So,
amen. 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 And then, of course, the good news that we saw for New Yorkers like me is that our travel ban and quarantine requirements issued by Governor Cuomo have now changed a little bit. So last week, I think there were like all 50 states were on the do not travel list for New Yorkers. But now, I guess, with some pressure, he has changed that. So now, as a New Yorker, I am allowed to travel outside of the state. If I'm only going for 24 hours, there are no restrictions. I don't have to quarantine when I get back. I don't have to get a COVID test. I don't have to do anything. If I'm gone for more than 24 hours, then what is happening is I am required to have a COVID test within 3 days of returning, of departing wherever I am to go back to New York. And then I'm also required to quarantine for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, I need to get a COVID test. And as soon as that is comes back negative, then my quarantine is over. So it's still a lot of hoops to jump through, but at least we're not flat out not allowed places, which, you know, it's, I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. So we'll see how it goes. In other news, Disney has been announcing that their festivals will return. So the first one coming up is Festival of the Holidays in Epcot. That will be returning to Epcot November 27th through December 30th. And then along with that announcement, this past week, they just announced all of their holiday treats coming back for all four theme parks beginning. That started November 6th. So yay, exciting times for the holidays. And also Festival of the Arts will be reappearing in Epcot as well. And that one will be running January 8th through February 22nd. So that's exciting too. Lots of good news. They also, Disney announced a new virtual queue procedure for Rise of the Resistance. That started already. So when your mask moms went to Disney, you know, we had to be in the parks, and in time to try our luck at getting on the virtual queue at 10 a.m. And then you also had a second opportunity if you didn't get that one at 2 p.m. Now what happens is they still have two opportunities a day, but this time it is at 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. And for the 7 a.m. virtual queue, you do not need to be in Hollywood Studios to get that. So you could just set your alarm and do that from your resort room. The only requirement is that you and everybody in your party who is trying to get on that virtual queue must have a ticket and also a park reservation for Hollywood Studios that day. So I'm really excited to try this out. They're advertising it as a pilot program, so we'll see how it goes, but we'll be back there in December, and I'm excited to not have to stress about getting to the park on time and being able to just do it from my bed.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. Like, it was so stressful for us on that morning, and we don't stress easily, but we were all a little anxious, and I think this is great. It also alleviates the crowds. It'll alleviate the lines of people on the Skyliner and trying to get into Hollywood Studios, because people want to be there so they can get this boarding group. So I think
you still have 2 hours to activate or to like, I don't know what the word is, to like claim your spot once you get on that queue. So even if you get in that first boarding group of the morning, you still don't have to rush to get there. You have 2 hours so you can take your time and not have to worry. So I'm really excited about this.
I'm excited. On the flip side, I hope they figure out some way, because I know annual pass holders that are local can make a park reservation. If they don't get the Rise of the Resistance, then they release that park reservation that day and go make another one. I'm hoping at some point, I thought when they did this, when I, you know, kept reading it, that, you know, I was hoping they could find a way to go around that, but I don't think they're going to be able to. And I get the flip side of it. If you pay for a park day that day, and you don't, and your only reason for going was to get on Rise, and you don't get on Rise, I understand. You don't want to go in. And I think that was part of it, is because they had a lot of people complaining that, you know, they paid for this park ticket and they didn't get to experience what they wanted to experience. But, you know, at the same point, that ride could have gone down for maintenance that day.
Yeah. And, you know, if all those people decide that day that they didn't get their boarding group, so they don't want to go to Hollywood Studios, then it's less crowds that I have to fight with to get on the other attractions. So
yeah, true. We all know from the beginning it's a risk, right?
Like, it is.
As disappointing as it is, it's a risk, and it's a risk. Sorry.
And if you don't get it, you can just go drink in Oga's like we did.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was quite enjoyable. With my 4 kids.
Yeah, I'm excited to try it. So I will keep you all posted, because you know I'll be doing that. So
that's okay. I'll be trying it in early January. That's when we're going. So we will see, us against my husband, who does not want to go into Hollywood Studios, but it's going to be fine.
I think you'll be better than I will be. I think, when am I going? Like December 20th? Oh, maybe Christmas Eve?
Yeah, I was going to say, I pushed it to the very end of our trip. So it's like January 6th. I'm hoping the crowds die down.
I wonder what crowds are going to be like, though. Like, I was doing some reading on some of the Disney Facebook groups and stuff, like, that people are finding that crowds have actually gotten a little bit smaller with everything going on in the U.S. right now between election uncertainty and COVID uncertainty, that there was a little bit of a spike in crowds when we were down there. And now it seems totally unsubstantiated, no numbers to back this up. But just from what people are talking about, it seems like crowds are going down a little bit. So we'll see, because we'll see with Veterans Day coming up. It's Veterans Day, right? November 11th?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see with that when crowds typically go up a little bit. We'll see if they don't. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
And I'm curious, though, to know what the holiday season is going to be like at Disney this year.
Yes, and I was super hoping to be able to see on my trip in December. I was hoping to be able to go on the Ratatouille ride, but I know Disney announced a couple of weeks ago that they were not planning on opening that in 2020. But then we got a little bit of a teaser this week because they unveiled their marquee for that ride. So they're playing with my heart. And
they are. Like, the marquees are going up, the canopies, the lights, like everything's going up.
I just don't get it. I have a feeling that they're really gearing up for a great 2021. They kind of know that 2020 is a little bit of a wash right now with so much uncertainty. And so I think they're kind of building up the excitement for 2021. So I guess that will be our year, girls. So,
well, it's going to be real interesting because as of the beginning of January, they are selling park hoppers.
Yeah. Yeah, so they are.
What's happening as of January 1st? Are park reservations opening up and you can make two in one day? Like,
who knows?
I think that's wishful thinking.
What is going on? So something's happening because, you know, I can't see them selling these hoppers as of January 1 and then going, just kidding, we're not doing them.
Oh, I can. I see it happening.
And then having to refund all of that money again,
only the people who remember to ask. But yeah, I see it happening that way. I mean, call me a cynic, but I do see it happening that way. I just don't. Here we are, November 3rd. And I just don't see January 1st things being that much better.
I don't think that things are going to be better. But I do think, I mean, we saw that it was possible to park hop when we were at Universal Studios.
True. Yeah.
So
park reservations and open it up. Like, so in the computer, you can make two for one day.
Exactly. So I don't think they're going to get rid of the park reservation system because they haven't through 2021 either. You still need to make park reservations, but maybe the people who make the Bobs came up with some way to still keep track of park attendance and be able to open up more than one park per day per visitor who wishes to do so.
I hope you're right. I'm skeptical, but I hope you're right.
There's always one in the bunch.
There's always one.
And you're it.
And it's usually me.
the naysayer.
Oh, I think it's
everybody. Everybody needs a friend like you.
We all get a turn. It's not always me.
No. I was going to say, right now you're back in quarantine. So
that's true. You have permission to be.
I'm a little grouchy. Yeah. Yeah. Anywho.
I don't want to end with the last bad news, but we do need to talk for a second about the layoffs that are continuing in Disney in Orlando. We saw a couple weeks ago, we saw a ton of cast members who were in entertainment being laid off, including the entire cast of the Festival of the Lion King and the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review and Beauty and the Beast and just the Citizens of Hollywood, all those people who just make you smile and bring some of that magic to Disney. They have been let go.
Sad. These are the things that just make it that make Disney so special, and their absence is sorely, sorely felt. It makes me really sad.
It makes me sad. And you have to understand from like a business perspective, I get it, Disney, and you know, they're not seeing the numbers and how much longer can they survive without making these difficult cuts. But on the other hand, like you said, these are the people who really make your visit memorable and special and magical. And
yeah, that's what I was going to say. I know a lot of people are getting angry. They're getting angry at Disney. And, you know, these cast members that they're letting go, I'm sure if there was any other way possible, they wouldn't be letting them go. Because
exactly.
Special. But you got to understand, there, as much as Disney is this magical place and creates wishes and dreams and everything else, they're business.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure their hand here was forced. I have it on fairly decent authority that they were not able to furlough people for a second time based on contracts or what have you. So the only other option was to lay them off. If you can't furlough legally, then you got to let them go. So hopefully, I'm very hopeful that they will be brought back eventually someday. I mean, it's Disney's bread and butter. They're entertainers. This is what they do. So it will come back. I know it. Something. Yeah. Just not by January 1st.
No. Hopefully soon. I hate to leave with that bad news, but let's jump into the food and wine because, this will cheer us up.
Yeah. So this was on our recent visit that we've talked about a lot and are going to talk about some more. So get used to it. This was my absolute favorite day that we had because like we said before on previous podcasts, we didn't have an agenda other than to just enjoy the World Showcase and eat and drink as much as we could, which when I look at our list was not as much as we had hoped, but we managed. We did a pretty good job. So yeah.
I think that when we start to talk about it, this is a lot of food, girls.
Oh, I think we could have done better.
Rolling back to the Grand Floridian, like I just.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't even like this. This was the night we didn't eat dinner, right?
Right, because
we went back to the Contemporary, and I literally couldn't eat anything. I couldn't look at anything. I could barely get water down.
Yeah, right. I was stuffed. But anywho, okay. So
keep in mind, it was 90 degrees that day. So
yeah,
that's hard. This bravo to us.
Yes, good job, girls. Sorry, I was being a naysayer again. It's a rough day. It's a rough day, guys. So there are two kinds of people in the World Showcase. And there are those who begin their tour in Mexico and those who are wrong. So,
it's true.
So being right, we started in Mexico, which is super fun. So we went into the Mexico Pavilion, which I just love. I love the building in there. Incidentally, so they were controlling the flow of people in there. I don't know how our timing was so good. Maybe it was because it was just before the lunch rush, but we walked right in. And then as we left, there was a line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anywho, so we stopped, of course, first at the Cava del Tequila to get some beverages. And I think we sent Lori in, right, while we waited outside?
Yeah, we did because we hit up the booth in Mexico before we went inside the pavilion there.
Right, that's right. We sent her in while we got some food. So what did we eat? It was so good.
It was so good. We had the mango smoky margarita, which had mango puree, mezcal, applejack, lime juice, agave nectar, and a chili lime rim. And we also had the pork tostada.
That was
which
amazing.
That was so good. This was a great start to our tour around the world because, I mean, our food was delicious.
I could have eaten six of those.
Right?
So good.
The margarita
and we got
was
one
okay.
Because we knew we were going to share. So we got one so that we could have room for everything else that we were going to eat that day. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then inside, Lori got the avocado margarita, which again, like our tipsy duck, this is not exclusive to food and wine. It's there all the time. And
why limit yourself, right?
Yeah. I do have to say, though, so for people that are going in there, it's a super tiny, I guess you call it bar. You know, and the line can get longer. It does move pretty quick, but they have you kind of going around. They had seating in there initially. All that's been kind of roped off. They did did displays on the tables. So instead of seeing an empty table where you're like, oh, COVID, they at least made it a pretty display. So that part was nice. But I do have to say, you know, I've had one other avocado margarita before. I felt this one was too chunks of icy.
Agreed.
like there was just, it needed to be blended.
He needed to help hit pulse a couple more times on his blender.
Right. The avocado, when you make an avocado margarita and when they usually make the avocado margarita, it's really smooth. The avocado gives it like the smooth creaminess, but this one was just not blended quite enough.
No.
And so it was a little chunky. The ice was a little too chunky. I agree, but it was still delicious.
We still drank the whole thing. And then the smoky margarita that we got that was a Food and Wine exclusive, that one, I thought if it was just smoky without the mango sweet, then I would have loved that one a lot. But okay, you know me.
And that like sweet, it was very delicious.
It was a little sweet. And so mezcal is what gave it the smokiness. Mezcal's like a smoky tequila kind of liquor. And that was good. I thought it was a little on the sweet side. I also thought it needed a little more tang and a little more heat. I would have liked a little jalapeno in there.
Agreed. If it was a smoky jalapeno margarita instead of mango, then that would have been my favorite drink of the day. But it was too sweet. I just don't, you know me and my sweet drinks. I'm not a fan. So
yeah, I'm with you on that. So this time we're both naysayers, Jen.
But that pork tostada was
amazing.
One of my best bites of the entire day. So it was such a good thing to start on, and it was delicious.
I think I stabbed one of you with the fork for the last bite.
I think you might have. That was me. Yeah. You're like, why didn't you just drink the margarita?
That is a lie. I was just kidding. Anyway, so for those of you who know what comes after, those of you who go the right way, what comes after Mexico is Norway. Norway is not actually my favorite pavilion, but you do always have to like that school bread. So we got the iconic school bread, which is a sweet but not so sweet, like it's like a donut / brioche. Like it's not like deep fried, but it's like a baked donut, if you will, filled with custard.
I think the sweet only comes from the custard. I don't think that the doughy part has much sweetness to it all, which is great.
Okay.
Because then it's not a sickly sweet, like eating like a Boston cream donut.
Right. No, not at all. And then it's covered with like toasted coconut. But even if you don't love coconut, it's not too much. It's really quite perfectly balanced, I will say. Like the school bread surprises me because I don't think it sounds good. I don't even think it looks that good. It's delicious.
Yes.
It's delicious. It's almost like a cream puff, but not.
It's another one of those things that I need to get every time I'm in Epcot, and it's yummy. And this Norway does not have a food booth for Food and Wine. So this was not exclusive to Food and Wine. It's always there. Go check it out if you haven't had it. I think it is worth the hype.
It's
so
worth the hype. And it's actually one of the cheaper things you can eat in the World Showcase. I think it's like $4 or less. And we shared it.
Yeah, definitely shareable.
Yeah, yes. I mean, we shared it among three, and I needed no more of it. Like, it was fine.
I think that's why I've never got it with my husband, because he doesn't like coconut. Like, he won't touch it. Mm. And I don't, like, anytime we looked, he's like, oh, it's got coconut all around it. But now he will be voted away.
Yeah, Eric, if you're listening, it's time. It is time to try the school bread.
It's time. Take one for the team, Eric. Do it for your wife.
If not, me and the boys will just sit there and watch it, and he can just watch us eat it.
Yeah, would the boys like it?
Yeah, they would like it.
Okay,
so
there you go.
Sorry, Eric. You're out.
You're out.
They do have good beers over at Norway, though, so he could just sit with a beer and watch you.
That is his beer section. He does like the Norway beer. He's a fan. So.
What is the Norway beer?
Gosh, I don't remember.
And why didn't I get one, more importantly? What?
Because I don't know. And we'd already had two margaritas.
That's true.
I guess.
That's no excuse, girls.
I think the reason is I just didn't see them. That's what I think.
They're not in the same place that you get the school bread. Mm-hmm. There's like a little kiosk outside of the pavilion that has the beer.
But we got the school bread at a little kiosk.
Yeah, now I'm thinking that we did because
we did.
We did because I think the bakery is closed.
Correct.
That normally has the yeah. I don't know. What is our excuse, girls?
Maybe they just didn't have it that day. Because if they had beer, I would have gotten one.
I think they probably did. Maybe you just didn't.
Maybe it was just a lager or a pilsner, and I don't waste my time on those.
Well, it's a good thing because the next pavilion.
So I said Norway's not my favorite pavilion, but the next pavilion is China. And I actually really do enjoy this pavilion a lot. Like, I just think it's beautiful. The gift shop is tremendous, but also reminds me of like being a little kid walking through Chinatown in Manhattan. Like, it's just got all these cool things, though a little bit nicer. I just love it. I just think it's great. So we stopped here and
we got some pretty pictures there too with the gardens and the tree.
Oh, it's so gorgeous. Pretty. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous pavilion and it's big and I just love it. So what we got was the Mongolian beef bao bun, which sounds amazing, right?
It was not a bao bun.
It was not. It was weird.
It was like bao taco.
It was decent, but it wasn't anything to write home about. And then we saw someone walking by with the thing on the menu that we passed up, which was the chicken dumplings with Chinese slaw. Mm. And we were like, oh my God, that looks so good. And they turned around and were like, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, lesson learned, I guess. So, I don't know. Too bad.
It's okay
because we had the Tipsy Ducks in Love to comfort us.
Yes.
Which that was so there. Good. The other thing we got there was this draft beer with jasmine. And it was yummy. Like it was florally, but not too florally. It wasn't sweet. It was like a beer with like a little bit of like a jasmine tea kind of flavor. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but those Tipsy Ducks were my thing.
Well, for sure. I mean, it was not the Tipsy Ducks.
And I think I was too focused on that we didn't get the dumplings. And I think if the line was shorter, we would have gone back to get the dumplings, but I think the three of us were like, well, the day is young. This is only our second booth. We gotta,
stay
strong. Right.
Well, what we should have done, and I had talked about this in previous podcasts, that if I didn't like it, I was gonna throw it out and there was gonna be a lot of food in the garbage.
No.
We should have thrown it out and gone back. But we didn't because it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't bad. It just, I eat Chinese food all the time and that is not what a bao bun is.
No, it just wasn't correct. It was tasty. It just wasn't right.
China, you messed it up. I don't know.
But that drink and that beer, spot on.
Yes. Yeah, right. Those were good.
So next pavilion was Germany.
Yeah, and didn't get any food.
It was like kielbasa and potatoes.
It was a potato gratin, and then we were back and forth on that one, but then we didn't really do it. And then they did have a bratwurst, which we almost got, but then
it's just so heavy. Yeah, and it was 90 degrees.
Right, I think this was about the time where Jen looked like she was about to pass out, We needed to figure something out to get her to sit down.
We needed to just get a beer.
In fact, I think we skipped Germany.
I think we went to the American Pavilion so that we could sit down in some air conditioning for a while, and then we backtracked. But for the sake of going in order of the countries.
We also got angry because the Alps was supposed to be.
Yes, that's right.
What was it that we wanted to get at the Alps? Because it sounded really good.
Cheese and potatoes and
baguette. A raclette.
Oh, it was a raclette. That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was real angry with that decision that they
very upset.
Again, COVID times, typically during a weekday, like it doesn't matter when during the food and wine festival you're going to food and wine, all of the booths are open. But COVID times, apparently they close some of the less popular. I don't even know if it's the less popular ones or just random, but they closed some of the booths. They don't open.
Yeah, because they had that one. They had Brazil that wasn't open.
No, Brazil was open. We ate at Brazil. Spain.
Spain.
That was it. And that was the one that really disappointed me.
That's true. Yes.
So food and wine, right? So Epcot normally has all the countries, but then for food and wine, they add regions or countries with kiosks. So which I think it can be confusing because we know there's no Alps country in Epcot and there's no Spain and all that, but just it, you know, if you're not familiar, they just sort of add these extra places and they're not necessarily related to one of the existing countries. They kind of add extra.
Bonus food.
Bonus, right. And so I was disappointed about the Alps raclette because, and I understand how this sounds, so whatever to all of you, but I've actually been lucky enough to have real raclette in the Alps. And I really wanted to compare and see because, you know, sometimes in America when we eat regional foods from other countries, we don't know if it's the real deal or not. We just know it's good. Has it been Americanized? Is it the real deal? So I really wanted to know. I wanted to know if it was good.
We did not get to find out.
We did not. So we're just going to go with yes. They do it authentically. That's what we're going to go with.
Yes.
But in the meantime, I don't think – we definitely didn't do it. This is kind of where we broke order, but maybe we can still talk about them in order to kind of.
Right. Yeah. So in Germany, you can always get, and you all can guess exactly what beverage we're talking about because it is a favorite of Jen's.
I talk about it all the time.
You don't even have to be in Germany and Epcot to get it because you can get it at her supermarket in New York. Yeah. Now, I'm not sure if it's Schafferhofer or Schoferhofer. I think it should be Schoferhofer, but the lady at Epcot told me it was Schafferhofer, and I disagree. So, but okay, I know. Well, can I backtrack for 1 second? So we were talking about the layoffs and stuff, and one of the things that we found a little bit sad about Epcot was that normally in all these pavilions the people that are working there are from the country that you're visiting. And this time they weren't. They've done away with that program. So everyone there is just an American-based employee or cast member, excuse me. So my point is, for all we know, this woman didn't know either. Right. If she were German, I bet she would have said Schoferhofer. But if for any of our German or, you know, Austrian friends, just tell me how
are we butchering it?
Schafferhofer or Schoferhofer. But anyway, so
it was a very I think that day in Epcot was definitely my favorite day of our vacation. Everything about it was great. But that one factor really, it made me a little sad because one of my favorite things to do and that I encourage my kids to do is we always have conversations with the cast members in the different countries because they love to talk about their culture and their heritage.
Right.
And we love to hear about it. And that was definitely missing. And we definitely, I felt that. So that was sad. So yes, we got to enjoy these pavilions that are so beautiful still. Yes, we had a great day walking around and trying all the different foods, but there was kind of like a little air of sadness.
Just a little something that was missing. But you know what? If you've never experienced it before, you wouldn't miss it. You wouldn't miss 100%. It. And it was still wonderful.
Like with everything, I think now. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So after Germany comes Italia.
Which is another one of my favorite pavilions too.
Italy's a really cool pavilion with obviously, of course, delicious food. Who doesn't love Italian food? It's also just really charming. I love it. It feels so of all the regions in Sicily or in Italy where there are so many of them that feel very different. I think Epcot chose a kind of Tuscan feel, Tuscan and Venetian sort of mesh. Yeah.
Well, those are the buildings they replicated.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. But you also have that whole area in the front by the lagoon with the, which I love. It's such a good place for a picture. They have the stairs there. You have the gondolas there. I just love it.
Yeah. It's great. So,
and this food place We actually kind of forced ourselves to get it.
We're like, I don't want to eat anymore.
I think you got this when I was running back to get the chauffeur. Yeah.
Well, my thought process was, I'm like, it's Italy. We have to get at least one food for the Mouska fans, and we did it for you.
This was the point where we were starting to be like, we are never going to make it all the way around this world showcase if we eat something everywhere. And Lori did. She said no for the fans.
And I have to tell you, so we got the cheese tortellini, and I was like, oh, tortellini, it's 90 degrees. I don't want to eat this. It was surprisingly really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it was not sauce heavy. The tortellinis were the little, like little tortellinis. I thought it was like, we each had like two or three. It was good.
It was good. And they are definitely at all of the food booths. They're definitely, they're snack portions, but the best thing about it is that they're already smaller snack portions. And then if you split it between a couple of people, this is my Mouska tip. Never mind. We'll get
later. Okay, moving on. All right. Delicious. So it was cheese tortellini with ricotta, provolone, fontina, and parmigiano. It was and like a vodka sauce and they called it crispy bacon, but I'm gonna call it pancetta just to keep in line with the theming. It was tasty. Mm-hmm. It was good. And then Lori got a beverage here that was white sangria with prosecco, which I'm sure a lot of people will love. Like what, how would you, so it was, there was, okay, first of all, there was no fruit in this sangria.
There was no fruit. That made me angry. Right. I was more excited for the drink than the tortellini, and the tortellini made me more happy than the drink. The drink was just, you know what? I love sangria, red, white. I love sangria, but you gotta put some fruit in it. Especially when you're paying $11, you can throw a couple of apples,
right?
Slice.
Well, and it's also a very Italian thing too. So this had a strong peach flavor. I think they, instead of like brandy, they must have used like peach schnapps, which I am not a fan of. However, it is a very Italian thing to drop a fresh peach into any kind of wine, red or white. I can remember as a kid that just being a summertime thing, just putting the peaches in the wine and that was it. Like no extra brandy or anything else that goes into a traditional sangria. And it's delicious. If you've never tried it, peaches and red or white wine are like fabulous. I mean, don't use, you know, like a bottle of like $50 Chateau Neuf de Pape. You're using table wine, which is what Italians drink anyway. But no, I mean, it is so delicious. This did not hit that button. Like this was not, and it was a little too sweet. I didn't love it. I didn't love it.
No,
I took one sip and then went back to my Schoferhofer. So whatever. Yeah. I don't do white sangria usually anyway because of the peach schnapps thing. Because I had a bad experience with peach schnapps once, which we won't go into. Like
everyone had bad experiences with peach schnapps
or any kind of schnapps. But Jen, I'm surprised about the Schoferhofer because I found that to be a little sweet too.
I don't know. I guess it is. Yeah, I guess it is. But for some reason.
It's very refreshing. Maybe because it's sweet and tart at the same time because it's grapefruit.
Maybe. Well, and it's that wheat beer, which I really like a wheat beer. So I don't know. But they also, Schoferhofer makes a pomegranate one, which usually is the signature beer in Germany in Epcot during Food and Wine. And I was disappointed that they didn't bring that back this year, probably because of COVID, because I did want to try that. Because the only one I can find locally is the grapefruit one, and that's the only one I've ever had, so I was curious, but maybe next year we'll see.
Pomegranates are super tart, so I bet that one would be
tasty. I think I would like that one.
Yeah, I think I would like it too. Yeah. All right. So that was Italy. I just want to pause to say I really did want to get some gelato, but like there was no room. There was just no room.
We were being very selective at this point.
We had to. I mean, we weren't even halfway done and we were like rolling.
Yep.
So then we double dipped in the American pavilion.
Yes.
Maybe, I don't know why. Because
it was because that was the point where I just needed to be in air conditioning. Yeah. And I said, girls, I hear Regal Eagle Smokehouse is fantastic. We're going in.
And we all had heard wonderful things about Regal Eagle. And I think we talked about this before too. I was super skeptical. The skeptical. skeptical about Regal Eagle, you know, having lived in the Carolinas, that I was not going to enjoy this. We ended up going with chicken, which I was glad for, because chicken is not considered barbecue in the Carolinas, so I could be okay with that. And we got a slow smoked half chicken.
It was so good. And this again was like, this was our bonus, because this was a quick service restaurant. It was not one of the food booths. It's open all the time, but it had just opened, I want to say, the beginning of March. So it hadn't been open very long before all the shutdowns. So this was a first for the three of us, which was fun, because that doesn't always happen too. And we had already done a lot of barbecue on this trip. So we already had the ribs and we had already had the pork. So it was a nice change to get the chicken. And wow.
It was really good. And it came – and then we got one of like all of their sauces. What do they have? They have a vinegar-based sauce, a Carolina mustard sauce, a mesquite, like Kansas City sauce, I want to say.
I don't know. It was all so good.
All good. Actually, one of them was not good. We threw that one to the side.
I can't remember which one that was. I think it's the one I forgot the name of. Yeah. But it was a red-based sauce, right? So there were like two red-based sauce. One was a mesquite, and then the other two sauces was the vinegar and the mustard. It was delicious. I do think they
could. Also, and it was – so it was $13.99. It was the half chicken and a side, and it was definitely enough food. Even if you weren't eating around the world, it was definitely a big enough meal to split with somebody for sure.
What did we get for the side?
I don't remember.
But I know we had pickles too. Did it come with pickles, or was that the side we chose?
I think we just got the pickles.
They were so good.
Oh, no, we got garlic bread. It came with garlic.
Texas toast. That's right. Yeah. I will say, I do think that to serve barbecue chicken, they also should have added an Alabama sauce to it. And that's like I know this is going to sound gross to a lot of people, but it's like a mayonnaise-based barbecue sauce that they serve in Alabama just with chicken. So I think given that it's the Regal Eagle Smokehouse and it seems like they take inspiration from barbecue all around the South and Southeast, I think that was a little bit of a miss.
But, all right, Bob, get on it.
But what they had was really, really good. Oh, and they also, so we talked about this previously as well, but they also have outside, just outside of the Regal Eagle Smokehouse, like kind of attached to it, is just a little place where you can get beer or cider. And that's like where I got.
It was really cute.
Yeah, it was really nice and attached to it. So that's where I got my favorite beer of all time, which is Sierra Nevada Hazy Little Thing, which I cannot get where I currently live. And I was just...
It was a good call. It was a good call to have a stop there and sit in the air conditioning for a while, sit for a while, kind of.
It was great. I was a pig in mud with that beer. It was so good. So for some reason, though, as soon as we left there, we were not full enough. And we did hit Hops and Barley, which is like, so like if you enter the American Pavilion, Regal Eagle's like right there, you know, if you're going in the right direction.
This was another one of our best bites of the day.
Oh my gosh. And beverages, if I do say so myself. So at the one end where you enter the American Pavilion is Regal Eagle. And then at the other end where you exit, again, if you're going in the right direction and not the wrong direction, is Hops and Barley. And this is where we got the New England Lobster Roll. And I was, again, very skeptical. I was very skeptical about this lobster roll because lobster is really easy to mess up.
It was, they did not mess it up.
Oh my gosh. Again, we should have gotten three of them because it was so good. And it wasn't like a lobster salad. Like this was a huge claw on there. Like it was
$8.25.
I can't even. Like it was so delicious for $8.25.
We really should have gotten three of them because we had so much room in our stomach. It was so delicious. I mean, cooking for that many people in a kiosk, you just like Juliana said, like our expectations were not that high, but it was.
It was so good. Lobster can get rubbery. This one was, as they say, it was like butter. It was so good.
So good. If you guys haven't seen the picture, it's on the Mouse Mom's Facebook page.
It's so good. Go drool.
Alone, you can see the entire like claw just sitting there. And I'm not a huge fan of mayonnaise, and it was not like drenched in mayonnaise and cut up. And I mean, it was huge.
And there was like a herbed butter sauce too, right? Oh, that it came was with.
So good.
That wasn't mayonnaise-y. It was like buttery. No,
it was a butter sauce and it was herbed. I don't even think we opened it because the friggin'
mop didn't need it.
Good enough. Like it was good.
Right. So also here we got the three double. I shouldn't say we. And I think I might have let you guys have a sip.
I had a sip of this one.
Yeah. The Three Daughters Brewing Awake Coffee Blonde Ale. So there are two beverages that I absolutely love, and those are beer and coffee. And when you put them together, yum. So what's interesting about this beer is it's a blonde ale. It's yellow. It's not like a stout or anything that you would usually associate coffee flavor with. So it's a blonde ale with this coffee in. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And what I love about Food and Wine and the festivals that do this is you can get a 6-ounce beer, so you don't have to drink an entire pint. So you can sample more this way. So believe it or not, I did stick with the smaller one and enjoyed every sip of it except the 2 sips that I let them try.
Well, thanks.
Because I love you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was a good one.
It was. I think it was my favorite stop, which I think is just ironic when you consider we are American and we're eating and drinking around the world, and mm-hmm. and we went with the American food.
I was going to say, so my family, when we go around the world, I never stop there. I've never done the show there. I've never done anything. We just bypass it because I'm like, I'm in America. I don't need to go.
I've gotten a beer flight at Hops and Barley before, but never food.
Yeah. So I will be stopping here more. I was thoroughly impressed.
It was outstanding.
Yeah, it was good, which is good because our next stop was Japan.
The food at Japan was good.
Yeah, so we got this adorable like sushi flower pot, which
it was pretty.
It was pretty. It was pretty. Yummy. It was really good. It was really good.
So this was another one of those like leftovers. So, you know, when the closures happened, Flower and Garden, International Flower and Garden Festival in Epcot had literally just started, I want to say on March 3rd, mm-hmm. and then everything shut down on the 16th. So what they decided to do with the food and wine is to bring back some of those favorites that they had been serving or introducing for Flower and Garden, just so that people could have a chance. And this was one of them. It was because I did get it for Flower and Garden, and it was a little bit different then. The flavors were still the same. It was a little bit different, but this time it was delicious too. The Chirashi Sushi Flower Pot.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. You know, there was a lot of rice at the bottom.
Agreed.
It was still a very, very good dish.
Yeah. So in the spring, so it was salmon sushi with salmon roe and spinach served over sushi rice with a poke sauce in it. And in the spring, there were actual slices of salmon. And then just now it was like diced salmon, wasn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like chunks you'd see on like a poke bowl. Like, it was little chunks.
Yeah. Right?
It was delicious though, but I agree with Lori. It was a little light on the salmon and a little heavy on the rice, but I can understand that for $6.75. Like, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
I totally, for the price that it was, I thought it was very, very good. Looking at it, of course, I want, you know, a little less rice, but you know, for the price, it was fantastic.
And it was pretty. The way that they had it in the flower pot, it looked like a flower. It was very pretty. You know, that is where we should have stopped.
Yeah. You know what else was pretty? So I don't know why it sounds good. So it was called.
That sound good still, even reading it now, but now we know better.
Fiorano Martini, which was vodka, lavender syrup, and yuzu juice. And I think if you're fans, you've seen the live.
It was gross.
We did a live after we each took our first sip just to show you our second reactions, which were even funnier than our first reactions. Lori, why don't you tell us about it?
She's speechless.
It was not – okay, here's the thing. you see lots of people going around in food and wine. People, obviously there's, you know, six items. So you see people with the same dishes kind of walking around. This drink, people were sitting and drinking and their faces were a consistent, ew, what is that?
Yeah.
And I answered it for them. It tasted like grandpa because that's what it did. It tasted like grandpa's cologne.
Like aftershave. Like it made me think of like Gina Tay or something. Like not even Old Spice. We're talking like grandma's Gina Tay.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to like go give your grandfather a kiss on the cheek and you're like, whoo, aftershave, that's what this drink was.
But we drank it.
Well, I mean, it was $7.50. We couldn't let it go to waste.
But it was beautiful. It was this lavender color and it was so pretty. Like, even if you look on our Facebook page, we have a picture of it that we're holding up by that beautiful, because again, Japan is another one of those pavilions that I always have to go in because
it's gorgeous.
The gardens, everything is gorgeous. So this picture is beautiful, but we laughed so hard at this stop because the drink was so bad. And then as we're leaving, we see this honeymoon couple sitting on a bench and the woman is trying it in her face. And we just started laughing and we're like, tastes like grandpa, huh? And she's like, oh my God, that's exactly what it tastes
so
like.
So bad. I'm also laughing because we actually had an argument over what color it was, because one of us said it was purple and one of us said it was pink. And then we finally realized, duh, it's lavender. It was just a ridiculous conversation. But if you haven't seen the Facebook Live about it, go to the Mouse Moms Disney Podcast Facebook page and search for this video, because it really is maybe one of the funniest things we've ever done.
I want to know, really, I want to know if there's anybody out there that have tasted this drink and somehow likes it, because I want to know what's wrong with you.
Oh, they're out there.
At some point in time, you know, Food and Wine had like taste testers. What were these people thinking when they were like, right, this drink's fantastic?
It was so gross.
And I like some florally things, you know, like that violet drink.
This wasn't
drink.
Even floral though. This was perfumey. It was gross. We got to move on because I can't. Now I feel like I taste it.
So moving on to, I think, one of my favorite and one of the most underrated pavilions in the World Showcase, Morocco. If you haven't walked around the Morocco Pavilion, like take the time to go around the back. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. There's some interesting things in there.
We need to do another podcast episode about that. I know what you're talking about.
There's some interesting little, let's call it an Easter egg in Morocco. But what we had there, I thought was actually really delicious and totally unique and like nothing I've ever had before. And it was the spicy.
And by the way, you can order this at Spice Road Table. It's an appetizer.
I've never eaten at Spice Road Table and now I think I need to. So it was spicy frumis. I can't talk. Spicy frumis fries, spicy hummus fries with cucumber, tomato, onion, tzatziki, and chipotle sauce. Now, this was a little spicy for Lori.
Yeah, it was a bit. I mean, here, I don't think my kids would eat it. I think it would be a little bit too spicy for them because they're on the younger side.
Mm-hmm. But again, I think the spicy saved your taste buds from the drink that we had in the pavilion before.
If you do, if someone forces you to drink that martini in Japan, I would say go to Morocco and get the spicy hummus fries.
To get the taste out.
So I don't even know how to say, like, what do you think that, like, it's, so I was picturing, like, fries that I was going to dip in spicy hummus, but that's not what this is. No. This was, like, chickpea cakes, right? Like, deep fried chickpeas.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they do, is that they cut strips of the hummus and they pack it and then they deep fry it. Or bread it probably, and then deep fry it for a minute. So it's like you're eating deep fried strips of hummus. It was so good. And they make that at Spice Road Table. I remember getting that as an appetizer the last time we went there.
It was really tasty. And I don't remember what the drink options were in Morocco. I do know that we didn't get anything. I think it was just basic beer kind of stuff. I don't think there was anything.
I was scared after the martini.
Well, yes, we did need to recover. That's true. So then we ended up at the Brazil kiosk. Brazil is not a country on the World Showcase, but there was a kiosk there. And everyone tells you, have you tried the bread? You have to get the, what is it? Pão de queijo?
Good for you for trying that.
I do not speak Brazilian.
It's Brazilian cheese bread for those of us who don't even want to try to pronounce that.
And is this is gluten-free? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's gluten-free. And for anybody that has a Costco near them, Costco sells this in huge bags. My kids absolutely love them.
It's a thing. Like, it's a thing in Brazil. Like, this is like their street food. So it was delicious.
It's like a puffy bread with cheese. I don't even know how to explain it. It's not heavy, though. It's not like...
No, it's like there's cheese. It's like almost a puff, but there's cheese in the dough.
In the dough. In Costco, it's called Brazy bread. And they've made a couple different variations. So, like, they have the regular cheese one, like we tasted. They have, like, a pizza-flavored one. They have, like, a garlic-flavored one. And they just came out – Brazy's came out with empanadas that are just, like, the same thing where they put chicken and cheese in.
I love empanadas.
The same puffy, cheesy thing. But yeah, they're amazing. I love them.
Yum. These were good. They were good. It was a nice stop, and it wasn't as heavy as you would think from the
not at all. No. Yeah. And I also felt the need to go back after you guys picked up the cheesy bread. I felt the need to go back to the same little kiosk to get the frozen caipirinha. I love a caipirinha. I think they're absolutely delicious. They're unique. They come with the main ingredient in them is cachaca, which is a liquor, specific to South America. And it's fantastic. I love it. This one didn't taste right.
Mm-hmm.
Lori was our garbage can.
Well, again, it was too sweet. A caipirinha is not that sweet if it's made properly.
I was gonna say, my opinion was anything was better than the Japan martini. So I drank two.
two countries later and you're still trying to get the taste out of your mouth.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. It was not authentic in my humble opinion. Okay. But that's okay because by this point, I don't think I really needed another cocktail. So.
Well, no, because by this point, our next pavilion that we went to was my favorite cocktail of the day. I did like the Tipsy Duck one, but this one was yummy and I've made it 3 times since we've been home. So
you talked this up so much that I didn't have high, like I thought I was no, that's not what I mean. But like, you know,
you liked it so much. I was determined that it was going to be horrible.
Yeah, that came out wrong. What I mean is you had talked it up so much that I almost was afraid I was going to be disappointed, you know, like.
There's no way Jen could actually be right about this.
No. And I was afraid my expectations were so high that I was going to be disappointed. Does that sound better? That's what I mean.
Sound better. Thank you.
So we're talking about Le Vie en Rose, the frozen slushy, and it's vodka, Grey Goose, orange, Saint-Germain, which I think we talked before is an elderflower liquor, and white and red cranberry juice. And we have talked about this on the podcast before, but it bears repeating because holy cow, delicious.
So good, right?
Delicious.
And their mainstay that they have at the French Pavilion that I always get on my trip, the orange Grey Goose slushy, I didn't need to get because this one was there. So it was so good.
It's a little tart. It's a little sweet. It's a lot delicious. Highly recommend. Go for it.
Jen, it was yours and I's last alcoholic drink in Epcot too.
Yes. That was our last drink there.
Oh, it wasn't mine. So who wants to try to describe or try to actually say this properly?
What we ate in France.
It's Fouillette
d'escargot à la crème
So basically what it means is, so fillette is like sheets, like a sheet pastry, right? Puff pastry, fillette, escargot, you all know what that is. And then cream of oil and parsley.
It was delicious. Really it was so good. And this was one of the ones that Lori and I were really looking forward to. And when I texted you guys the picture and I'm like, oh my God, we need to have this. Lori right away was like, oh yes. And Juliana was like, no, thanks.
Yeah, I did not want it. For a couple of reasons. One is I'm a snob and Like, yeah, I just didn't expect it to be very good. Like, for me, I, you know, like, I'll eat escargot, but it can be done really wrong. Like, you don't want chewy snails in your mouth.
There wasn't even that much escargot in it. That was my disappointment. It was more puff paste. I mean, the sauce that was on it. I mean, it's a garlic cream sauce. You can't go wrong with it. But, you know, the sauce and the puff pastry, and then we had to kind of dig around to find the little escargot-y thingies.
But they did melt in your mouth. Those escargot.
I think if you're eating it by yourself, it's exactly enough and the right amount. But if you're sharing it with two other people, you're going to be fighting over the snails.
Yeah.
But it was delicious. It was such a good bite. And again, I love this pavilion. It's so beautiful. And I was
impressed. I was impressed with the escargot, with how well it was done. Because like I said, they can get chewy and gross. Like, I don't want to be chewing on a snail. But these really, again, like butter, melted in your mouth, absolutely delicious. And with the amount of garlic and parsley that they put in here and butter, you can't go wrong.
And again, really this is a street fair. Like, yeah, I mean, our expectations versus reality, it was, everything was so well done and delicious.
I had super low, look, I can get escargot whenever I want. I had super low expectations for this. It was delicious. I know, again, I know how that sounded. Don't worry. I'll be moving back soon.
So the next stop was kind of fun. We totally stopped, plowed through and did not stop at the UK Pavilion, which
I don't even know what they offer at the UK Pavilion. Is it just fish and chips?
They don't have a booth. It's just the regular, you can just go and get, I think it's called the Yorkshire something, and you can just get fish and chips. But
I love the UK Pavilion though. I do too.
And I was gonna say, it's another one of my favorite pavilions because the gardens back there are so beautiful, but I don't even think that we walked through the gardens. I think at this point, Juliana was on a time crunch because you had to run and get your extra suitcase.
That's right. I needed to do that.
I think we were just so full and so focused, and we wanted to go check out the World Showplace Pavilion, which is like an extra space that they have that they open up for things like this, like the food and wine. And it's a huge...
I did not know this existed. Yeah. Like, for the number of times I've been to Flower and Garden and Food and Wine, I had no idea this was back there.
I knew that they had these pavilions, and I know in the past Food and Wine, they had like a beer and wine pavilion, and like they've done different things in there, but we never stopped because we just didn't have time. And I'm so glad we stopped into this one.
Yes.
Even though for a number of reasons.
Forced the food down.
It was so hard to eat at this point.
It was nice though. It's big, it's air conditioned, there was entertainment, there were places to sit, and there was a little shop exclusive food and wine merch.
Yeah. So imagine like a conference. I mean, it was like a conference center. Like it wasn't.
And I was going to say, I don't remember ever going there for any of the festivals, but I remember like decades ago, we went to Epcot, to Disney in general with my dad because he had some sort of convention. And I remember there was an event in there.
Right. Like there's no charm here. There's no ambiance, but they did have six or seven different places. I think one of them was all related to apples. Does that sound right?
There was an apple seed one. There was a champagne one, was that
champagne one? And I wish I was not as full for that one.
Yeah, and then there was a mac and cheese.
Yes. Yeah, which there were a couple others I can't remember. And then there was like the cake dessert one.
Yeah, the dessert one.
So we hit. I think I just like literally was like, I'm not even going to ask you to. I'm going straight for this mac and cheese one. I don't even care if you guys.
I don't even remember tasting it.
Mac and cheese? No, you tasted the mac and cheese. It had a bunch. We ate all the lobster off the top.
We got a lobster mac and cheese. It was good. It couldn't compare at all to the lobster roll. But what we got was the lobster mac and cheese with a boursin garlic and herb cheese sauce. It was all right. Like, it was
that
good.
I don't remember tasting, but the dessert, the cake pop, I do remember tasting. And all I remember thinking was, I need a huge glass of milk with this, and I should have gotten this in the beginning of my day.
I could not put this thing to my mouth at this point. Like, I literally was not able. Like, I had to walk away. And I think this is when I left to go to Disney Springs to pick up my extra suitcase.
We took a couple more bites. This cake pop, I mean, my family likes cake pops.
So
this
describe it, Lori.
Awesome. First, they do like a whole show with it. So I posted the video, but they have the cake pops. They dip it in chocolate. And then they take it out and then they put it in the liquid nitrogen and they kind of freeze it, and they have the little Twix pieces. So you could pick like a regular chocolate one, a Twix, and they might have had like
an M&M. Yeah.
So this one was super cute.
It wasn't like a tiny cake pop. It was like a hockey puck.
It was like the size of a Mickey bar.
Yeah, it was a big, big cake pop. And for $4.
Yeah.
My Starbucks cake pops, I think, cost more than that.
Yes.
And they're like a tablespoon. Tiny. Yeah.
Yeah, so, this was delicious. But again, it was so rich. I just needed a glass of milk and more of a stomach because I could have eaten more of it. It was so good.
No, it was super good. And then they did have the shop in there that we talked about. They had food and wine merch. And then they also had annual pass holders food and wine merch.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. I bought my plate that's an annual pass holder food and wine plate. That stuff was awesome. We got a whole bunch of items there. And then because we felt we weren't full enough, and because I'm Canadian, we stopped at Canada.
This one I was really sad to miss, especially with how much you guys raved about it.
I'm sad for you to miss it. I will be honest. I've never stepped back in the backside of the Canadian pavilion. I've never gone back to where the waterfalls are, and they have a show back there. I've just never gone there. One, because I think there's like 10 steps going up to get there.
I don't even understand this, Lori. Like, you're Canadian.
I know, but there's 10 steps going up there. And when you have a double stroller, you're like, man, that's a lot of work.
I guess.
And you just don't end up doing it. So I'm so glad we went back there. I've been to that little store. I know I've done that quick. Like, I ran up and Eric stayed with the kids, but I've never gone all the way back to see the waterfall and everything else. So I'm really glad I finally got back there.
It's gorgeous. This is another one of my favorite pavilions.
Yes. I kind of feel like an idiot now that I haven't gone back there. But we went back there. It was awesome. I don't think the show was going then, right? I don't think it was. And then we tried the Canadian cheddar cheese and bacon soup with a pretzel roll, which was amazing. I think it's the same recipe from the, what's the Canadian? The Les Cellier?
Cellier, yeah.
Yes. I had that. Jen and I had that one. That was amazing.
And you made this since we've been home, right?
I made it. And I'll be honest, I tried doing a video of it. And unfortunately, I was rushed at the last second. My video didn't really come through. So don't worry. It's getting cold here in Chicago. It'll get made again and I'll do a video. But I do have the recipe. It is amazing. The soup was just, it was good.
And then what you also had a filet mignon, right?
Yes. We also had the wild mushroom filet mignon with truffle butter sauce, and I have to give it to them. The only steak per se I really eat is filet mignon, and it was, again, for a kiosk, for them selling so many of them, it was absolutely amazing.
Filet, like not being a fatty cut of meat, really easy to screw up.
Yes, so easy to screw up. So easy to screw up. And hang on.
Sorry, I have no idea what that is. Sorry.
That was me.
No.
So easy to screw up. So easy to not be able to cook it right, especially for that amount of people. You know, it was amazing. I was blown away by Canada. We also got the orange. What's the orange guy?
I don't know.
The orange little guy that with the orange creamsicle, we got him.
The orange sipper,
Short sipper cup with the orange cream shake in it. It is non-alcoholic. You can ask. I just wanted the Orange Bird sipper cup. It's sitting on my desk. So I got the sipper cup. I asked for the cream shake to be put on the side.
And this is a non-alcoholic beverage, right?
Non-alcoholic beverage, super sweet. I think Jen and I took one sip of it and called it a day.
Yeah. So while you guys were, while you guys were still at the World Show Place Pavilion, I was running out because, like I said, I actually grabbed an Uber to get to Disney Springs so I could get to Vera Bradley to buy one of their exclusive Mickey Mouse bags so that I could take all my extra stuff that I bought home. And I ran by the Hawaii Pavilion that was serving a pineapple beer, and it was absolutely delicious. I totally loved it. Highly recommend. Not too sweet. Definitely get it. Again, you can get a small one. So I guess that's it. So that was our delicious meal where we each gained 50 pounds. So now for the Mouska tip.
Yes. So the Mouska tip is the only way we survived. And it's best way to taste the most that you want to taste going around the world is to share. This is the only way we literally survived tasting and eating and drinking as much as we did, was to share between the three of us. I really think this is a good suggestion, no matter who you're eating with, even if it's just your family with the kids, buy one and all of you get a bite of it. Unless you're really like starving and want to eat a whole thing, just keep hitting different pavilions and take a bite of each thing. Take sips of each thing. I know this doesn't really go with the whole COVID way of things, but if you're staying in the same hotel room, you're already exposing yourself. So I guess just keep it in your little circle of sharing.
It also saves you some money too, right?
It saves a bunch of money. I thought we were going to go through a ton that day, but because we were able to split between the three of us, it really helped out.
Yeah. So
Mouska tip.
There you go. Share, share, share. All right. So that's it for our best eats from Food and Wine Festival at Epcot. If you missed our big announcement last week, these Mouska moms are now travel planners with Kingdom and Cruise Travel. Hooray. So make sure to follow along on our Facebook page, Mouska Moms at Disney Podcast, and our blog, mouskamomsblog.com. And of course, our new website, kingdomandcruise.com. Thank you for listening and having a drink with us this week. Tune in every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for new episodes. Mouska Moms are avid travel enthusiasts, and our podcast is sponsored by Kingdom and Cruise Travel. If you are interested in booking a vacation to Disney or any other worldwide destination, be sure to check out the website, kingdomandcruise.com, and their Facebook page, Kingdom and Cruise Travel. These traveling moms are signing off, and remember...
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M.I.C.
See you real soon.
K.E.Y.
Why? Because we like you.